This is KISL, Avalon, 88.7 FM, a broadcast service of the Catalina Island Performing Arts Foundation.
KISL, Avalon Radio.
That's what I just said.
Greatest radio station in the world.
As a matter of fact, it is.
And now, stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history.
Brian, do you know what radio program they're talking about?
It might be Rapidly Rotating Records, or it might be the Steve Harvey Hour. I don't know if Steve Harvey's got it. That's right, everybody! Grab your partner, do-si-do. It's the two-step.
Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. And with me here in the KISL studio live tonight is my friend Straka.
Hello, Glenn!
Hello, Straka!
Hello, Avalon! Hello, New Zealand!
Hello, world!
Yeah, world! Those of you in Christchurch, happy Sunday, Monday! Are they backwards or forwards in time?
They're ahead of us.
Well, happy Monday. They're enjoying Labor Day.
Matter of fact, it may already be Labor Day in New Zealand.
But they don't celebrate that because they're not Americans.
No.
Yeah.
And speaking of Labor Day, do you know that the first Labor Day was celebrated on Tuesday, September 5th in 1882?
1882?
That long ago.
What was that, by James Garfield? Did he make this by
the decree? Well, no, that was planned by the first Labor Day was planned by the Central Labor Union in New York.
Oh, man.
And other labor unions and organizations followed suit. Mm-hmm. And within several years, Labor Day was celebrated in many different industrial areas of the country.
True. I'm sure a bunch of strike busters tried to beat them back to work, though.
No doubt. So do you know which was the first state to recognize Labor Day?
Ooh, I'm going to say New York or Massachusetts.
No, you're way,
Vermont?
Cold. You're freezing cold.
West Coast, are we talking?
West Coast.
Is it California?
No.
Is it Oregon?
Yes, it is.
Yes, Oregon!
And by 1894, 23 other states had adopted Labor Day as a holiday.
I see. Wasn't it President Roosevelt that finally made it a federal holiday? Just saying.
Well,
right.
Congress made it a federal holiday.
Okay.
On June 28th, 1894.
Oh, wow.
Declaring that it would be the first Monday in September, a legal holiday, Labor Day.
So this was a federal law before all states followed it?
Well, once it was a federal law, I guess they had no choice.
I don't know. Maybe I'm. Who knows?
I mean, they can celebrate their own holiday without it being a federal holiday, but it was a. It became a federal holiday on June 28th, 1894.
Well, that's lovely. Well, thank you, U.S. Congress. Thank you, all those who sweated and toiled. Thank you, child.
And still do.
Yeah, exactly.
But like us.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're toiling away here, aren't we? This is the equivalent to a 14-hour day in a coal mine.
So we're going to be talking about labor and work and jobs, mm-hmm. and playing vintage and contemporary music having
Much
to do with same.
Yes, definitely true. So,
this is not your ordinary rapidly rotating record show.
No, it's an extremely rapidly rotating record. So fast we go into modern day. And if you've got a story about work, about how much you had a terrible job back in college or high school, give us a call. Be live on the air. Give us a call. 310-510-SHOW. 310-510-SHOW.
That is correct. And I will try to figure out if somebody actually wants to go on the air how to do this.
They definitely will.
I have talked to people on the phone, but not put them on the air. But there's a control for that over
don't
here.
Don't tell
we'll
people
find out.
That.
What?
We know how to do it. Call us. We'll put you on the air.
They've already figured out we don't know what we're doing.
That's right. The Kiwis haven't noticed
but
yet.
But we are having fun.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So, I'm going to start off our Labor Day musical festivities.
Please
here.
Do.
And this is Harry Reaser's Six Jumping Jacks.
John, I push, I push, I push. What do you push, John? I push in a truck. Where do you push, John? On the Delaware like a one, a one, a one, a one, the Delaware like a one. Yay!
That's a nice. How about how's that to start off a show with a nice Italian, a tarantella?
A tarantella is what it's called?
Yes.
Which in Italian? Are they working on a river? Is that what they said? The Delaware River?
No, the Delaware Lackawanna.
Lackawanna?
Which is actually the Delaware Lackawanna, which okay. is a railroad line.
Oh, I see.
In Delaware.
Oh, okay. Okay. So they're just chugging away on that railroad line.
That's right.
That's kind of cool.
Working on the railroad.
Well, speaking of working on the railroad, I'm going to go into my next song because it fits well.
Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you. I haven't told you what that song was, other than it's a tarantella, which in Italian means tarantula.
Oh, okay.
See the stuff you learn on this show?
See, every day. And if you want to check out Glenn and everything about him, go to rapidlyrotatingrecords.com.
Thank you.
See?
Anyway, that was Harry Reaser's Six Jumping Jacks from November 10th, 1926. And where do you work, John? On the Delaware Lackawanna. And part of the reason that was a tarantella is it was written by Harry Warren. That doesn't sound very Italian, but Harry Warren's actual real name was Salvatore Antonio Guadagna.
Oh, man.
And he wrote over 800 songs, most for films like 42nd Street.
Oh.
And he also wrote You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby. Did I ring a bell?
No, not at all.
You should listen to this show more often.
I'm trying.
Chattanooga Choo Choo.
I know that one.
Okay.
Okay.
And the Gold Digger song. We're in the money.
Oh, that's... Okay.
Okay. So, two out of three, you know. That's
why did he change his name, though? He was just getting persecuted for being an Italian?
Well, he wasn't in Italy. I suppose when he came to the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
he thought he'd fit in better as Harry Warren than Salvatore Antonio Guadagna.
How do you pick Harry Warren?
I have no idea, but that's a good question.
Yeah.
Perhaps somebody out there knows. Anyway, he wrote the music, but the lyrics were written by Mortimer Weinberg, Charlie Marks, and Ernie Cricket, with a K.
Ooh.
Mortimer Weinberg also wrote the lyrics to Adofatico Giuva, which was which was recorded on January 20th, 1927 by Eduardo Migliaccio, who was also known as Farfariello.
Farfariello!
Which means little butterfly in Italian.
Oh, that's adorable. That's something his mom called him, probably.
Could be.
I guarantee it.
Where Do You Work, John? Was actually a very popular song, and it was also recorded by the Jazz Pilots, Phil Napoleon's Orchestra, Bill Perry's Entertainers, the Nightclub Orchestra, the Seven Little Polar Bears, which was actually a different Harry Reeser group.
Yeah.
And Fred Waring's Pennsylvanians.
I'm going to ask a question I think a lot of people have on their mind right now.
Certainly.
Where the hell do you find this stuff? Like, that's so much information about one song. Like, where do you possibly find all this or know this?
Reference books, liner notes.
My goodness.
God bless the internet.
Yes.
And just common knowledge. Doesn't everybody know this?
I guess not. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so that's my first record.
I'm going to sort of piggyback on that whole thing of building a railroad.
Okay.
I'm going to start with a great song by a man named Sam Cooke. I'm sure you know of Sam Cooke.
Yes.
This song probably has the best use of chain as an instrument. So from, I believe, 1955, here is Sam Cooke.
Okay, wait a second. Let me...
You're pulling the curtain back, Glenn. People are knowing this is an amateur hour here.
Okay, go.
From 1955, Sam Cooke's Chain Gang.
I hear something saying,
well, don't you know?
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Now don't you know?
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they work so hard till the sun is going down. Working on the highways and byways and wearing a frown. You hear them moaning their lives away, then you hear somebody say, that's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. Can't you hear them saying, I'm going home one of these days. I'm going home, see my woman whom I love so dear. But meanwhile, I've got to work right here. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, my, 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 my. My work is so hard, give me water, I'm thirsty, my work is so hard, oh, my.
So that was Sam Cooke's Chain Gang, which I believe was a song that was sung. This is a story that I have heard. I don't know if it's true or not. That song was actually sung, like, working on the chain gang was actually sung by people working on a chain gang.
Well, that makes sense. It's kind of a, like, a, it's a work song, like a sea shanty
to make
work easier, lighter. I don't know how you'd make working on a chain gang any easier than it.
As you're just being eyed by a guy on a horse with a shotgun just yelling at you to get back to work. But Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke, quite the woman man, if I could say so. Had many, many extramarital affairs. He's a good-looking cat as well. So in the 50s, Sam Cooke had it all. And I was just talking to you as the song was played, because almost all 50s songs have that one guy in the group that just has the, well, don't you know, like the really deep
the
voice.
Super bass.
Yeah, I love it. Is it baritone? Is it what they call those guys?
Bass.
Is it bass? Yeah. Is it super bass? Is there a name for that? Who knows?
In opera, they're probably, I think it's basso profundo.
Oh, jeez.
It's more Italian
more
for
More Italian? My goodness. But those guys are great. And if I could travel back in time, I would just be that guy who just says the one line and just gets paid the rest of the band gets paid.
Yeah, got paid as much as everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
What's on tech next there, Glenn?
Well, I have Spike Jones and his City Slickers. This not being a normal rapidly rotating records show, which generally sticks to the 20s and 30s. This is from 1952, and it's called I'll Never Work There Anymore.
I used to work in Chicago in a department store. Behind the candy counter, a lady came in the door. She said she wanted some candy. I asked her what kind she'd like. Kisses she wanted, kisses she got. I'll never work there anymore. Kisses, some kisses. How bad she wanted those kisses. I used to work in Chicago. I'll never work there anymore.
I used to work in Chicago in a department store. Behind the record counter, a lady came in the door. She said she wanted a record. I asked her what kind she'd like. Bebop she wanted, bop she got. I'll never work there anymore.
Bebop, some bebop. How bad she wanted some bebop. He used to work in Chicago. He'll never work there anymore.
I used to work in Wisconsin behind the smorgasbord. In the cafeteria, a lady came in the door. She said she wanted a boiled egg. I said, what part do you like? A yolk, she wanted a yolk. I told her, never work there anymore.
A yolk, she said she wanted a yolk. He used to work in Wisconsin, he'll never work there anymore.
In Chicago, in a department store. Behind the flower counter, a lady came in the door. She said she wanted some flowers. I asked what kind she liked. Potted she wanted and potted she got. I'll never work there anymore.
Potted, so potted. She asked him how she got potted. He used to work in Chicago. He'll never work there anymore. I used to work in Chicago in a department store. Behind the fruit juice counter, a lady came in the door. She said she needed some fruit juice. I asked her what kind she'd like. Nectar she wanted.
A nectar I did.
He'll never work there anymore. Nectar, some nectar. That's what she said, and I nexted her. I used to work in Chicago. I'll never work there anymore.
Spike Jones and his City Slickers.
My God.
You've never heard that before?
Who would hire these people? Just stealing kisses from poor women?
Well, that's why they don't work there anymore.
I guess so.
That vocal trio was the Mellow Men. George Rock, the one with the very high voice. Mm-hmm. Ole Svensson and Dick Morgan. I'll Never Work There Anymore is the title of that on that record anymore. That's generally known that song as I'll Never Work in Chicago.
Okay.
And I have a version of I'll Never Work in Chicago.
Okay.
To follow that up. It has a completely, it's the same song, but a completely different set of lyrics.
Are they just as nasty as those were? I can imagine putting that on in the 50s and women just had their ears covered in horror.
Well, we could make up some lyrics, but we wouldn't be able to play them on this show.
But after 10 p.m., it gets a little blue.
That's true. So you want to hear Oscar Brand?
Yeah, please.
And his version. Okay, here from I think this is 1961. Oscar Brand and I'll Never Work in Chicago.
I used to work in Chicago at a department store. I used to work in Chicago. I did, but I don't no more. A lady came up for a girdle. I asked her what kind she wished. Rubber, she said. Rubber, I did. I'll never go there anymore. I used to work in Chicago at a department store. I used to work in Chicago. I did, but I don't no more. A lady came up to the hat shop. I asked her what kind she wished.
felt she said, felt her I did. I'll never go there anymore. I used to work in Chicago at a department store. I used to work in Chicago, I did, but I don't no more. A lady came up for a house dress, I asked her what kind she wished. Jumper, said she, it's a jumper I did. I'll never go there anymore. I used to work in Chicago at a department store. I used to work in Chicago, I did, but I don't no more. A lady come up for some pastry, I asked her what kind she wished. Layer, she said, layer I did. I'll never work there anymore. I used to work in Chicago at a department store. I used to work in Chicago, I did, but I don't no more. A lady came up for a sleeper, I asked her which berth she wished. Upper, she said, upper I went. I'll never go there anymore. I used to work in Chicago at a department store. I used to work in Chicago, I did, but I don't no more. A lady came up for a ticket, I says, where do you want to go? Banger, she said, banger I did. I'll never go there anymore. I'll never go there anymore.
Man, have mercy.
I used to work at KISL.
Banger, man. Was that played on the air back in the 60s?
Yeah, sure.
Oh my God, that's awesome. What a
great
song.
There's nothing in there they couldn't say on the air.
I guess that's
all
true, yeah.
It's all context. It's all innuendo.
It's double entendre, they say.
Yes, it's all your mind is in the gutter.
That brings up a great story I had from when I worked at this pizzeria when I was from 15 through 18 years old. It was called Cazzoli's Pizza. I'm going to get into the story because it goes along
with
it.
All right. I want to tell you about Oscar Brand, but go ahead.
So when I was 16, I used to work at this pizzeria, which was owned by this crusty old man from Brooklyn who had moved to conservative Parker, Colorado to open a pizza shop. And this woman comes in and she asks, can I get a 16-inch sausage? And he just grabs himself and he goes, yeah, I bet you do, broad.
I got your 16-inch sausage right here, lady.
I was like, you just set yourself up, though, lady. And she just walked out angry and never came back again. George Iacono, I still love you.
But he still works there because he owned the place. So.
But he went out of business because his...
I wonder why.
Yeah, there's many reasons, probably.
So, Oscar Brand... who sang that song, that last song, was born on February 7th, 1920. He was a folk singer, songwriter, and author.
Okay.
I think it's still on the air, as far as I know. I didn't have time to actually double check. But Oscar Brand has been doing his radio program on WNYC called Oscar Brand's Folk Song Festival. Mm-hmm. Since December 10th, 1945.
My goodness.
He's been on the air for 66 years and holds the Guinness Book of World Records record as the longest-running radio show with the same host.
I was just going to ask that, if that is a record. That's
yes,
insane.
Yes, it is. So I hope he is still on the air, and I will check. Oscar Brand wrote over 300 songs and wrote 4 volumes of bawdy songs and backroom ballads, including a song called The Clean Song, which you have probably heard,
probably.
Or a version of it. It's another one of those where you can make up your own lyrics.
So were all of his songs just like veiled sexual references?
No, not all of them.
Oh, okay. Most of them?
The good ones.
Okay.
Okay. You have another job story or another record to introduce? Actually, before we get in that,
okay,
there's been a dearth of calls here into the studio.
The so dearth is a correct word.
I want to remind everybody that the number here into the KISL studio in the greenhouse in City Park, Avalon, is 310-510-SHOW.
Which is 310-510-7469.
That's right.
I just looked at a phone and did that. Pretty good, pretty good. Well, those songs dealt with how much they don't want to go to work or how they got fired from their work, and I think this next song sort of sums that up great. Musicians, long throughout time, have often hated the people that give them millions of dollars to create music, and those are the record companies. And I think no band did it better than Lynyrd Skynyrd. So, from 1972... this is Working for MCA by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Ah.
that song's got one of the longest fades on it I've ever heard.
That's how Skinner does it. That was from their second album called Second Helping, just when the band got signed to MCA. And even though they were very excited about being signed to MCA, a lot of the band was very skeptical about how much money they had been promised and how much money would actually be delivered to them. And so they wrote this song that the record company overwhelmingly thought was a very positive thing. Like, yeah, they're working for us now. But secretly, Skinner sort of gave them the finger and saying, like, we're not really trusting you yet. And I'm sure we can all, you know, feel and level with that sort of sentiment about the job you've ever had. What's like the worst job you've ever had, Glenn?
The worst job I ever had was the 2 years that I sold life insurance for a life insurance company, which I will not name, but it's associated with a big rock in the Mediterranean.
Outside of Spain, close to Africa, that rock?
That rock.
That's
and,
where it's
and
at.
They have a great big tall building in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
That's 100 and some stories
wow.
tall that I climbed the stairs from the ground floor all the way up one time just to be able to say I did it.
Just for giggles, basically. Did you have a meeting at the 113th floor?
No, but there is a bar up there.
Oh, awesome. We need more of those. More bars in high places. So selling life insurance, like you just cold called people to get them to sign up for...
I did, and they would give you a list of numbers to call, and it got so bad, you know, they touted it as an unlimited income opportunity, and if you weren't making enough money, it was simply because you weren't making enough calls.
True.
And so call more, you'll, you know, make unlimited amounts of money, which I wasn't, and it finally got so bad. You know, they would give you a suggested script to read, which...
Let's just play that, can you? Just pretend I'm a potential like client that wants insurance. Ring, ring! Hello?
Hello, Mr. Straka.
Yes?
My name is Glenn Robison.
Oh, I've heard your show, Glenn. I love it.
I wasn't doing the show at the time.
Oh,
but,
I'm
but thank you
love
very
it.
Much. I understand that you have requested information on life insurance.
I have. I'm thinking about killing my wife and collecting the insurance money.
Well, that would be illegal, and I can't be part of that.
Okay. So what can you offer me, Glenn?
Well, we have our annuity plan.
Mm-hmm.
And
boring. I'm hanging it up.
I'm sorry, you're bringing back very, very painful memories.
I would love
I can't
to see the script
this.
In your hand. Just a very nervous Glenn on the first day.
All right, so anyway, it got so bad with the script that finally I simply abandoned the script altogether. Mm-hmm. And when people called up, let's redo that.
Okay.
That ring, ring.
Ring, ring! Hello?
Hello, Mr. Straka?
Yeah.
Would you like to buy some insurance?
You know what? I think I would. I like the cut of your jib, son.
I actually sold a couple of things that very way, just coming right down to the bottom line.
Nice.
You don't want to buy any insurance, do you?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Well, all right, let's
I don't know why I turn into an old black man when you give insurance, but apparently I do.
And it had a couple of advantages. It got right to the point, and it was very quick. So if they said, you know, if they just hung up or said not only no, but hell no, then I could just go to the next call.
That would be an awful job.
It was pretty horrible.
Did you go to an office every day to make those calls or just do it at home?
No. I had to do them in a...
So not only
little,
did you have
it
to,
it wasn't
like,
even a cubicle. It was just an open space.
With other lost souls wanting to kill themselves for selling insurance.
Yes.
I can only imagine, like, showering and putting on a suit to go and sit at a desk.
Cut up the arm, not across.
My goodness. Glenn, what's our next song?
What was your worst job ever?
Oh, my goodness. I've had so many. In high school, I had 14 different jobs. Many of them I got fired from. I would say one of my worst, I worked at Target, and I'll say it. Because it's Target, whatever. I was 16 years old. This is right before I started working for the pizzeria. I worked for them because I got fired, and I just went next door and got a job at the pizzeria. But apparently at Target, I don't know if you've seen the movie Office Space. Have you seen this?
No.
So like Office Space just sort of details how crappy office life is. And at Target, I had something like 8 different bosses all telling me to do the same exact thing one after the other. Because you had like an associate level boss, a second level associate boss, all the way up to the general manager of the store. So if something went wrong, I heard about it 8 different times throughout the day. And I was just a cart boy. Like, how much can I screw up going to a parking lot.
Cart boy.
Exactly. I had to like clean up vomit and like cover the food court. But I, when I covered the food court, I would just steal Choco Tacos. I would just try to eat as many as I could in like my 15-minute stint that I had. But it just got so bad that I was just looking for a way out. And so I work with my friend Pete, who was quite the dapper-looking gentleman, and girls always came up and talked with him and laughed and giggled and flirted. So one day, we're outside getting carts, and this truck full of pretty girls pulls up, and they're like, "Oh, hi, Pete." And so Pete's talking, and he's like, "Straka, when this truck leaves, chase after it and make your pants fall down." And I was like, "You know what, Pete? I think you're right, sir." So they take off, and I start running and chasing after them, and then I have my pants fall down. And as I'm walking by, like, the front entrance windows, pulling my pants up, there's just the large security guy who I nicknamed Shaft, which he really didn't like, just staring at me and shaking his head. And he called me into his office, and then he says, like, "I have this on tape. I don't think you're going to have a job tomorrow." So I was like, "Yeah, I'll deal with that tomorrow." So I come in the next day. I got to have a sit-down meeting with 8 of my bosses, and each one of them tells me how...
the same thing.
The same thing. And they called it, quote-unquote, a gross misconduct. And I go, "I didn't think it was all that gross, ladies." And they're like, "Here's your paycheck in cash. Goodbye." And I was banned from going to that Target for 1 year.
You'll never work there anymore.
I will never work there anymore. Whoop! So that was my Target stint. I have more. We can get into it later. But what's our next song, sir?
Our next song is... yeah. Speaking of working like an ox, this is the Work Ox Blues.
Mama ain't gonna be your old work ox no more. Mama ain't gonna be your old work ox no more. You done fooled around, woman, let your ox get bored. Get up early in the morning, just a while for day. She will get up early in the morning, just a while for day. Then cook your breakfast, man, rush you. Come and daddy, no mops is gone. Come and daddy, no mops is gone. You can't never tell when your ox is coming back home. You can't never tell what these double-crossing women will do. You can't never tell what these double-crossing women will do. That they will have your buddy, then play fake on you. Thank you.
That was Alger, Texas Alexander, and Work Ox Blues from 1927. Texas Alexander was from Texas.
Hey!
Who knew? He started performing in the early 20s, sometimes with Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Oh, wow.
Texas Alexander didn't play an instrument himself, so he always performed with an accompanist or a band. He often performed with his cousin, guitarist Lightnin' Hopkins, you may have heard of.
God, what great names these guys have.
Yeah. Texas Alexander murdered his wife in 19...
I did not expect that turn in the story.
In 1939, he served 5 years, which doesn't seem all that long for murdering somebody.
Especially for a black man at that time, too. You'd think they would have just thrown away the key.
Texas Alexander made his last recording with Benton's Busy Bees in 1950, and he died of syphilis in 1954.
A life well lived, I would say.
And he wrote Work Ox Blues himself.
Good for him.
Texas Alexander. I want to remind everybody that this is Rapidly Rotating Records, Sunday evenings at 6. This is KISL Avalon. And Straka, you need to remind everybody about your own internet radio show.
I do. You should check it out. I have a podcast called Hugs and Disses. Me and a guy named Mike Postolakis, very funny guy. Hello, Post.
I'm mad at you for not getting to Straka's housewarming party the other night.
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first. So check us out. Go to hugsanddisses.tumblr.com. Tumblr is spelled T-U-M-B-L-R. You can follow us on Twitter at hugsanddisses. You can like us on Facebook, and you can stream all of our shows either on our Tumblr page, hugsanddisses.tumblr.com, or you can subscribe to it on iTunes. You can also hear it on Stitcher Smart Radio, which is an app for every single smartphone, Android, iPhone, Palm, whatever you want. It's always on there. And if you go to earwolf.com, you can sample some of our shows there. Literally, I'm running out of places to put the show so people can hear it. So please download it. Please subscribe on iTunes, hugsanddisses.tumblr.com.
There you go. And Rapidly Rotating Records is on iTunes as well and on Facebook. And
subscribe
you can like
to them
there.
Both.
Exactly. They are completely different. Let me tell you.
Yes, we have no music and just a bunch of vulgar stories. It's good stuff. It's great stuff.
Okay, what do you got next?
Going along with what Texas Johnson was doing, I'm going to go with a man named Bob Dylan from the album Bringing It All Back Home. This one is called Maggie's Farm.
Makes me scrub the floor. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. He hands you a dime. He asks you with a grin if you're having a good time. And he finds you every time you slam the door. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's brother no more. No more. No, I ain't gonna work for Maggie's ma no more. about men and God and law. Everybody says she's the brains behind Pa. She's 68, but she says she's 54. I ain't gonna work for Maggie's Ma no more. Just get bored. I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more.
And that was Bob Dylan, Maggie's Farm, from the album Bringing It All Home. Sorry, Back Home. Bringing It All Back Home.
Okay.
That's me, I'm sorry. That was a Rage Against the Machine cover, which is awesome, from their 2000 album Renegades, which contains a lot of expletives we will not play here, but it's a great cover nonetheless. Can you imagine hiring Bob Dylan to be a farmhand? I can't imagine any more
work. No, I can't.
I don't want to move the sheep. Gosh dang it, Robert, get out there.
So what was the worst job you ever had?
Besides Target? I had, when I was in college, I worked at a secondhand record store called Second Spin. They just sold used records. And it's,
there was one of those in Ontario Mills until a few months ago.
That sounds about right, yeah. But I worked with, if they were not really, really alternative, you know, crunchy granola, we don't shave any hair in our body women, it was the men that fell in love with those women. So men, like, there was one night where I had to work the entire store alone because everybody had went to the Ani DiFranco concert. If you don't know Ani DiFranco.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, you don't want to know. She is a really, like, sort of alternative chick, voice of the women, Lilith Fair type girl. Yeah. And she has a song called 31 Flavors. I think it was one of her most popular songs. And this guy, Brian, like, was trying to, like, connect with me about Ani DiFranco. And he goes, when she came on stage, I openly wept. I was like, you are not a man. Stop talking to me. But I was in charge of the entire R&B and hip-hop section. And that's when I figured out how many Lils there were in rap music. There's like Lil Wayne, Lil Jon, Bow Wow, Lil Romeo, Lil Blunt. And I was like, I had to make all these Lil things for it. It was great. But that job was just terrible. It paid nothing. And I started just taking the dollar CDs, like, when I went home at night, because they didn't have the little security tags on them, so I just stole a bunch of dollar CDs, and then ultimately I got fired. I didn't get fired. They just stopped putting my name on the schedule. And when I asked,
I had one like that.
Yeah, just like, why am I? They're like, huh? I don't know. You're not working this week. It's like, oh, I get it. I get the point here.
Well, at that point, you didn't have to get up and go to work.
No, thank goodness, no.
Okay, well, speaking of having to get up and go to work, here's Irving Aronson and his Commanders, and I've got to get up and go to work.
Say, where's my other sock? I've got a job, so help me, Bob. I've got to get up and go to work. Must be there on the dot. I hope my coffee's hot. Bring on those eggs, those scrambled eggs. I've got to get up and go to work. I'll do my best to make some dough so I can come home and say, we're out of debt, it's really so. You'll never regret our wedding day. If I should stay in bed, we'd soon be in the red. One kiss and then, like all good men, I've got to get up and go to work.
Now that your picture's in the paper being perfectly admired, you can have anyone that you have ever desired. All you gotta tell me now is wow, 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 wow. Welcome to the working week. Oh, I know it don't thrill you. I hope it don't kill you. Welcome to the working week. You gotta do it till you do it, so you better get to it. All of your family had to kill to survive, and this is waiting for their big day to arrive. But if they do, I feel they better be alive. Welcome to the working week. Oh, I know it don't thrill you. I hope it don't kill you. Welcome to the working week. You gotta do it till you do it, so you better get to it. I hear you saying it, this is alright. I wonder if we're living in the same land. Why'd you wanna be my friend when I feel like the children running out of hands? Welcome to the working week. Oh, I, welcome to the working week.
What you just heard was Elvis Costello's Welcome to the Work Week from his awesome, probably one of his best albums, My Aim is True.
Yeah, that was preceded by Irving Aronson and his Commanders, and I've Gotta Get Up and Go to Work from 1933, and just try and name another radio program anywhere on the planet.
Where you can hear both of those.
Exactly. Back to back, no less.
Yeah, exactly. Man, Extreme Rapidly Rotating Records is awesome tonight. I love it. Let's hear another. Let's go two more songs. Yes.
Oh, we got time for at least a couple here.
Okay. All right.
We got Red Nichols from 1939, and some advice of something not to do lest you get fired, and that's don't be sassing the boss.
Ooh.
We'll be right back.
Fred Nichols, 1939, Sassin' the Boss. Something you ought not to do.
Oh, but if you do it, you do it fired. Well. Do it well when you do do it. Because it's only going to happen once, probably.
The first job I ever had, I got fired from.
For being sassy?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was a model employee. I was doing my best. I was doing a great job. And they fired me to allow the owner's son or daughter to work there.
Man, nepotism. I don't think there's any country where nepotism runs deeper in commerce than here in the good old US of A.
And so I got fired from that, and then I got into the grocery business.
And then
after that,
from what I've heard, you saw someone get stabbed at one of your grocer's jobs. Is this correct?
I did. I worked at a
oh my God.
I worked at an independent grocer in the Echo Park area of Los Angeles. Not the best part of town.
No.
And I literally had to step across somebody who got stabbed in the entryway to the market. I worked graveyard midnight to 9.
I like how you didn't stop to help them, but merely step over their lifeless
body.
By
that time, the authorities had responded.
Oh, okay.
It was okay. I worked graveyard for 11 years.
You would be quite surprised to see how Echo Park has changed, though. It's getting quite gentrified now. Seriously.
I haven't been there in a long time,
well,
fortunately.
Yeah, check it out.
Okay.
And we're going to end our show, I think. This is probably our last song, I would say.
I'd love nothing better than to go on for another couple hours.
Let's do it all night, baby. I got so many songs about working. I think this is probably an anthem for many people in this country. An anthem sung by America's sweetheart, who's got two of the biggest American sweethearts I can think of, and that's Miss Dolly Parton. From her hit song, from her hit album, 9 to 5 and Other Odd Jobs, here's the title track, 9 to 5. This one's for you, wife.
Bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way. Step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and you never get the credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5, yeah, they got you where they want you. There's a better life and you think about it, don't you? It's a rich man's game, no matter what they call it. And you spend your life putting money in his wallet. 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5, yeah, they got you where they want you. There's a better life and you dream about it, don't you? It's a rich man's game, no matter what they call it. And you spend your life for the money.
This is KISL Avalon 88.7 FM, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records.
Extreme Rapidly Rotating Records, Glenn.
Special live edition with yours truly, Glenn Robison.
And yours truly, Straka.
And thank you very much for joining me this evening. This has been a blast.
Alan G., this has been we got to do this at least once a month. We have to.
At least.
At least.
Well, you need to get your own show here on regular terrestrial broadcast radio.
Show me how to do it, and hugs and disses is down.
All right.
And speaking of hugs and disses, check out my podcast with co-host Mike Postolakis, airing every Monday. You get it downloaded free. Subscribe on iTunes or go to hugsanddisses.tumblr.com. Follow us on Twitter at hugsanddisses. Like us on Facebook. You can hear us on Stitcher Smart Radio app. Also go to earwolf.com.
All right, all right.
Had to get one last plug in, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm Glenn Robison. I hope you'll tune in or click in again next week. And as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.